We are back on College Golf Talk. Steve Burkowski, Brentley Romine with you. Appreciate you, partner, carrying the load last week. It was spring break. We were out and about, so a tip of the cap to keeping us on the rails while I was gone. I'm sure it was probably a highly regarded pod a week ago.
Audio-wise, not so much. We had some technical difficulties. We had someone dialing in from another moving vehicle, so we're luckily that streak will stop this week. And but yeah, no, I appreciate Cannon and Ethan for coming on. We didn't get your bracket, so I wanted to get just real quick and scouts honor your Sweet 16 and how you looking.
Pulling it up now, and we're going to let you know Jake Amos, the head coach of LSU, the men's program, joins us in just a little bit on College Golf Talk. So we have like a little family fun bracket. So through day through week one, I am winning. But let's I'll give you this. So I've got two. Okay. Well, let's go this way. I have three of my final four teams remaining.
Okay.
I've got Houston. I have Duke. I had St. John's. I was bullish on Rick Pitino's team until I wasn't.
That was a tough game. 28% from the field.
Yeah, it was. Well, that was amazing. I was on a flight home. I was watching it, and the Big East Player of the Year, a second team All-America selection, doesn't play the last 5 minutes. But my national champion is still alive, the folks from East Lansing and Tom Izzo in Michigan State. So I've got three of the four. I think I want to say I nailed 28 of 32 in the first round, which wasn't that hard because what was it, the first time in quite some time, all top four seeds lose, right? I mean, it was basically chalk for the most part. The Johnnies hurt me. Even as a Gator, I have them losing to Maryland because it's just too easy to pick the number ones. It doesn't usually happen. But I need Sparty, even as the spouse of a proud Michigan Wolverine. I need Sparty to keep rolling if I'm going to win my bracket.
You were all over them, and I think both Nick Kleinert and I kind of rolled our eyes at that pick, but they look pretty good. I think they're going to wipe the floor with Ole Miss tonight because Ole Miss just can't rebound the ball, and that's what Michigan State does well. Maryland shouldn't even be in this tournament still. Derek Queen took about seven steps in that game winner against Colorado State. So the Fighting Steve Sands is should be playing. Although Sands is kind of a Maryland fan too. That was probably a difficult game for him to watch. But
that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. But hey, how good would it be in a couple days to have Michigan State with a Final Four berth on the line?
Not in this household. Not in this.
I'm just saying. It's possible. It's possible. We digress. We'll continue to update our brackets as March Madness continues. But let's not wait a moment longer. Let's welcome Jake Amos into this week of College Golf Talk, coming off of back-to-back victories, the latest out in California. A big one, Coach. Congratulations. Thanks for the time on this Thursday morning. But to go out there to see the field, the strength of the teams you went against, to win convincingly, what does it say about your team right now as the postseason's just a few weeks away?
I think it just means we're kind of figuring it out. Like we've got lots of talent, and just doing all the little things that require no talent, doing those really well. And I think we're just peaking at the right time. You know, we talk about April and May a lot in our team room. You know, this is what it's all about. So it's finding the right form at the right time. But I think it just validated for us, like if we do the right things and focus on what we need to focus on, we can compete at the highest level for SECs and national championship and getting that belief. And the guys are starting to realize that now.
Let me follow up on something you just said that caught my attention. You're doing the little things that don't require talent. So many coaches on so many levels in every sport will say that. I say to my 9 and 11-year-olds, do the things that other people don't want to do. For you guys in Baton Rouge, what are those that it's not talent-based, but it's desire? It's the will to want to get a little bit better each day.
Yeah, I mean, everyone, there's no secret like to success. You know, everyone knows you have to do what you have to do. Like, it takes what it takes. It's just having the discipline to do it. I think, you know, at our level, everyone's talented. Every team has the talent. It's like, what can separate you from anybody else? And it's the stuff that you can control. And that's really been our message all year. You know, I challenged the guys at the start of the year to just be the absolute best in the nation at everything that requires zero talent. And they've kind of embodied it. You know, it's showing up on time, being organized, you know, all the tiny stuff, like going on the road and having all your schoolwork done and not having stress. It's all the little things that every single coach preaches, but it's just doing it. And that's really, really like all it comes down to. And I think, you know, we had a long break from Puerto Rico to Louisiana Classics, and we just had a lot of time to kind of get stuff sorted, and we came in really prepared for those back-to-back events. And I think it just gave us a little blueprint of what we have to do as a team to be ready to win.
That's some advice that I needed in high school, was to get all my schoolwork done before I went and did other things. And I totally failed at that. Jake, you were a part of those great Augusta State teams, kind of the ultimate Cinderella in our sport. What experiences from that time in your life do you still draw upon as you're now coaching, you know, one of the top teams in the country?
Oh, all the time. Like, and it's really not anything kind of crazy. It's just, I just remember how competitive it was. You know, our team got inducted into the Hall of Fame a few weeks ago when we were back in Augusta and we were all catching up. And you know, in 2011, I'd graduated already, and Josh Gregory put a B team into the Augusta Haskins, which, as you guys know, is one of the best tournaments in the country. And the B team beat the A team that won the national championship by like 14 shots. And I think I just look back on how deep everybody was and how good everybody was. And that's kind of what I'm trying to draw on. Like, I understand that, you know, the people get the highlights of the starting five, but the real unsung heroes are how hard the guys at home can stay committed and pushing the players. And we've got a really deep team right now, and that's kind of what I'm drawing on. Like, I genuinely think I could put a B team into an event and compete right now. And I think that's a credit to how good the starting five are doing. And that's really the main thing I draw off, is just competing all the time and nobody feeling comfortable and everybody on edge. I think that's what I loved most about, you know, my time in college. And then eventually you're not even thinking about winning a national championship or whatever. You're just trying to beat people every single day. And eventually it all figures itself out and you won it all. And I think that's kind of what I'm trying to draw on now, is get my guys to beat each other all the time and see what happens.
Now, this roster too is comprised of guys who you recruited and guys you didn't recruit. You guys are up to 6th in the country now. When did everyone start to fully believe that you guys could be a match play team, could be an NCAA championship team? And how did you do that?
It's every single team meeting I have, I ask the question. I said, who thinks we can win a national championship? and I'm looking around and I kind of see who really believes it. And after this couple weeks we've just had, it was definite. Like you could see it in their face. Like they know they can do it now. But we're always talking about it. It's always the expectation. The belief and the all the other stuff has to come with it. But you know, I got fortunate. I inherited some talent. We got a big roster right now. And we've had some growing pains, you know, trying to figure stuff out as a chemistry kind of thing. You know, lots of, you know, a couple of my guys from East Tennessee came with me and guys from I didn't recruit and guys who've been here. So getting everybody kind of going in the same direction and trying to get chemistry that way has been the biggest thing. And I really do think we've got it now.
How much is college golf as a whole sleeping on Al Getclean and Arne Svensson and some of these guys, some of these Europeans that people didn't grow up playing against?
Yeah. You know, as coaches, we look at recruiting rankings all the time. You guys do class rankings and stuff. And I guarantee you, you go back last year and nobody had Arne Svensson on any
list. I had
him
25th. He was the
Did
last
you really?
Guy on. I had him 25th. What's his first name is the Gunlogger or something, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like a very hoppy beer.
That's actually funny because I couldn't pronounce his first name when I started recruiting him. And so I just said, hey, is it cool if I just call you Arne? It's his middle name. And he's like, yeah, it's fine. So like everybody in Iceland calls him Gunnlaugr and everybody in America calls him Arne, which is ironically a very good golf name. you know, so he suits Arne too. He kind of suits Arnold a bit more than Arne. But yeah, I mean, I think they are sleeping on him, but they're not. Like, I think Arnie's in a real race for National Freshman of the Year and SEC Freshman of the Year. I think he's incredibly consistent. You know, Alga is just, he was good last year. He was just kind of behind Matt Zegi, who was exceptional. But Alga's really kind of come on and matured, and he's bulletproof right now. Like, he's ready every single event. He's so prepared. He's so disciplined. He's been an absolute pleasure to coach, and he's helped Arne a lot. That, you know, they hang out with each other, and he's kind of mentoring him. And yeah, we're just fortunate to have them both. I think just keeping them focused and week to week. I think they're both kind of in line for first team All Americans if they keep doing what they're doing. And you know, it's been really easy to coach. I got to be honest.
When you made them, yeah, it's you don't have to do much coaching.
No.
When they're shooting those scores,
watch them play, drive the van.
Correct. That's just good. A good coach PJ has them ready on the first tee. As Dan Brooks, the legendary Duke women's coach, when I'd always see him meandering through the trees, seldom interacting with his players, I'm like, why don't you get involved? He's like, if they need me now, then I've already failed them.
Oh, and yeah. No, I was at Palmer Valley. I'm like, you guys want a snack? You thirsty? What you want? You lunch? You ready for lunch? I'm like, I was literally just clapping and putting my thumbs up. Good job, guys. Like, I didn't do anything. It was great.
That's got to be a dream as a coach. Bigger picture, going to Baton Rouge, having this plan, trying to make it all fit together. How surprised are you that less than a year in, this is taking shape where you just said, we have a team that believes they can win it all, and the results of late have shown that?
Yeah, it's been a really dream start. My assistant coaches have been incredible, Jace Long and Cody Carroll. They've helped me immensely. There's a lot of moving parts. One in your personal life when you kind of move uproot your family and stuff, but two, just setting the staff and, you know, getting to know everybody who touches the program and figuring out stuff you like and don't like. And we're learning every day, kind of what we like to do and how we like to operate and things like that. but it's been a dream start. I've had so much people, so many people support me and help me. And like I said, I was really proud of the roster we got straight away. You know, the big thing was getting everybody kind of acting and doing things how I like to operate. And that was kind of the big challenge, but we started to figure that bit out. We've got a great recruiting class coming in, and you know, it's kind of just keep doing what we're doing. I mean, this is the reason why I came is I wanted to be somewhere where I could win. And, you know, I don't know if you guys have been to LSU, but that's what they do here. You know, they just like to win at everything, and it kind of matched my energy, and I'm having a great time.
Before we let you go, you just used the word challenge. What might be the biggest challenge or obstacle in the next 2 months to keep this team on point? We're still dealing with teenagers, early 20-somethings that can get ahead of themselves and, oh, we just won two in a row. How do you keep them on point that the hardest work is yet to be done?
I mean, that is a great question. Like, we've obviously had a great performance the last 2 weeks, and we've had a really nice year, won four times now. And I think the biggest thing is to understand not to change anything, like keep doing what we're doing. And, you know, our guys know if they take the foot off the gas, I'm putting somebody else in. You know, we're too deep not to do it. So it's up to them. Like, I put a lot of responsibility. I'm really not very structured in practice or anything like that. So put a lot of faith in my guys being ready to go on their own. And if anybody just gets distracted, that's cool. You know, they just won't play, you know? So it's up to them. Like, that's the biggest thing now is staying focused. But that's what I mean. Like, the guys behind are always ready, and they know if they take the foot off the gas, you know, we've got people to replace them. And I think that's really a blessing of coming here and having the squad we have. But, you know, it's not going to be easy to win. I don't know if you've looked at the SEC lately, that we're pretty good. Like, it's, you know, we played with Texas last week, and they were great. They just had a good week this week at the Valspar. Like, Auburn's team is great. Bunch of experience. Like, Ole Miss, we played with them a bunch. Like, it's deep. Somebody was I was looking at it, like, we're ranked sixth. I think we're going to be a 4 seed or a 5 seed at SECs. Like, you know, we're not even making the premier pairing yet. So, you know, we got a long way to go still to be the best in the SEC, let alone best in the country, which is amazing. Like, I love it. So, yeah, I'm excited about the next couple of months, see what they can do. But, you know, bigger picture, just building on the start we've had and kind of keep it rolling.
No, we've been excited to watch the great start by you and the program in Baton Rouge. Jake Amos, appreciate you taking some time to join us on College Golf Talk. Continued success to you and your team, and look forward to catching up in a couple months at La Costa.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate what you do for college golf.
Likewise, thank you so much. It's hard not to think, Brentley, when there are openings and what coaches might move, who are the favorites. That's probably the most in-depth conversation I've had with Jake through the years. They have hit a home run. I love the old school philosophy of it's on you. That you need to be responsible not only for golf, but your schoolwork, for your life. And just what he said, that's all right. You want to take the foot off the gas? I'm completely good with it. You're not going to play. And I always circle back to that old school philosophy. There are a lot of old school coaches back in the day that were really successful having that same sentiment. You got to earn it. Roll up your sleeves. There's no free passes. I think he's fully aware of what he's gotten into. And to have this transformation of what was a really good program that maybe dropped off a little bit, you have to now seriously consider them, at least right now, as a team better than probably 50-50 to make match play at La Costa. And that could change in a week or a month. Boy, he's building something there nice.
Yeah, and it's just about getting into match play, right? And we've talked about this before, just the parity, and especially the parity at the top. And you look at, you know, Texas is now the new number one ranked team. They're certainly not invincible. I mean, there are it could easily go sideways for them too. Just, you can look at every one of these top teams besides maybe Auburn and say, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't make match play. Like, just they didn't have it that week. And there's really no surefire team. And I think LSU, the fact it's funny when he says they're the fourth ranked team in the SEC, I think they have the pieces to where if Arnie Svensson and Al Get Clean and those guys keep doing what they're doing, as Jake was saying, I think they're going to like where they are at the end of this season. But going back to what you're talking about, hitting a home run with this hire, I think you have to give a lot of credit to Josh Gregory. I thought when Josh was coaching college golf, obviously at Augusta State, but then at SMU, I think he really, really stood out amongst some of the younger coaches. And I've just always thought, you know, he was just inducted into the Hall of Fame a couple of years ago during the national convention. And, you know, I thought that was super deserved because he kind of got a raw deal. And, you know, I kind of didn't think that, you know, he kind of deserved fully what he got. But he's, you know, credit to him, he's carved out a nice career now helping those on the PGA Tour and in professional golf. And he still talks to Jake quite a bit. So the mentorship is still there. Another one of his players, Mitch, is at College of Charleston right now coaching. Like, there is a Josh Gregory coaching tree now that's been planted and is starting to bloom. And Jake Amos, I think, you know, I'm not worried about those challenges coming down the road for them this season, because to be able to get guys who you didn't coach, who kind of went through what they went through the last couple of years with the disorganization and the program falling off and all of that, to get those guys to buy in immediately, it shows that you got some real skill in the coaching department. So I'm buying all the Tiger stock right now, Berko.
It's a good purchase to buy and go long on. And you quickly talk about Mitch Krivolich at Charleston. You know, his standout is Kieran Funvake, who almost won on the PGA Tour a few weeks ago in that additional event. So you're right. Maybe there's a little Augusta University now, I believe they call it, coaching tree from Josh Gregory. Jake and you both touched on Texas, the Valspar Collegiate, the Longhorns beating Arizona State by 13. They're number one. You can make the argument as good as any coaching job in recent years for John Fields. You know, I always thought there was that prospect of when they won at Greyhawk a couple of years ago, you could ride off into the sunset. And I remember vividly him telling us that morning, like, if that happens, he's like, oh, I'm far from done. And obviously the Longhorns, the host institution at La Costa, he feels like there's a lot more he can continue to do. David Ford from North Carolina, he wins individually. He's hanging on to that top spot, number one in PGA Tour U. So I think that battle between David and Brendan Valdez and maybe even Ian Gilligan, who's kind of right there on the outside looking in. But you talk about David's twin brother Maxwell finishes last. North Carolina finishes 11th. Vandy, they finished 9th. Gordon Sargent not in the lineup. You know, FSU, Oklahoma, Auburn, they rounded out the top five. Luke Clanton, 7th. The guy literally went from a PGA Tour event to a college event, and we know how good he is. But we, for years, have said, is it North Carolina or Vandy? North Carolina or Vandy? And when you sent over the rundown last night, I'm saying one of those teams aren't even getting NCAAs.
Yeah.
Depending on which regional, and I believe we're always honest, fair, tell both sides of the story. As good as those programs were with very few question marks, I've got many more questions than answers. And it's a reflection of the whole cyclical process of college golf. I'm not very high on either of those teams right now to do much in the postseason.
Yeah, and you almost wonder if North Carolina peaked a little bit too early, like if we're talking about peaking at the right time. And clearly David Ford is playing some of the best golf of his career, but it's a serious issue, I think, mentally for a Maxwell Ford, who's a guy who should be the second best player on this team, who should be in that All-American territory. I think this is going to be real tough for him to bounce back, because it's one thing to finish, you know, T50 something and beat a dozen or so guys. To have your twin brother win and to finish 92nd and not beat anybody, and to have people talk about how crazy that is, which if that's not some weird twin thing, I don't know what is. It's almost right up there with the Cootie twins both breaking their arm. But to have something like that happen and everyone's talking about it, I think that that's going to really wear on him. So it's going to be a challenge, I think, for the Tar Heels to kind of get him right mentally and physically with his golf game, because they're going to need him. But I would say if you're talking about UNC or Vandy not getting there, I'm more worried about Vanderbilt. Gordon Sargent, this is the first time that he's missed a tournament not to play another tournament. This is his, I think it's, he's missed two previous to this week. One was coming back from the World Amateur Team, and the other one might have been when he was playing the Masters or something like that. But anyways, like, he clearly was benched. He clearly was left home to try to figure things out, and it's still not happening, and he's running out of time. And I think Vanderbilt's running out of time. Jackson Van Paris can only carry this team as far as it can go. But unless someone like Ryan Downs finds something in the dirt that he's not found before, this could be one of those short seasons for Vanderbilt, which, I mean, they've made match play how many straight seasons? I think Scott Limbaugh will, will be just fine when he looks back in 20 years on the longevity of his career and kind of what he accomplished. This will just be merely a blip on the radar.
Other results on the men's side: Utah edging Florida by one at the Schenkel. Luke Poulter for the Gators getting his first collegiate win. Oregon wins the, yeah, he's healthy. Watch out. Oregon wins the Duck invite by one over Wyoming. We talked about Kieran Funvake. He won the Hootie at the Bulls Bay, while South Carolina and Purdue share the team title. Iowa State, they win the Bell Bank Play It Forward Collegiate by two over Marquette. That's paying off the men. Let's pay off the ladies. The Charles Schwab Collegiate at Colonial. Stanford, again, behind. But at the end, they win by two over Oregon. It is their ninth straight stroke play event victory. Undefeated in stroke play this season. Hannah Davis from Auburn wins by one over Kiara Romero. Auburn and Wake tied for third. USC tied for 13th. Baylor, their last. Maybe questions there on the back end. I feel like we've had these conversations before. Stanford's really good. And maybe it's not the shiniest lineup, if you will. There isn't a Rose Zhang. There isn't a Rachel Heck. They're just really good. And I think to go to that event, trail, hang around, win. It's – we now are on the cusp, and I'm not there yet, of saying, all right, where does this team rank in the last 20, 30 years? Arizona State, sort of the standard back in the mid-90s, going undefeated. You can say, all right, Stanford's strength of schedule top to bottom isn't maybe as competitive as others. Ann Walker, the head coach, she doesn't worry about that. They are good. They are fun to watch. USC jumped out to me. You know, they're one of those three, four teams we think could compete. I feel like they're going the wrong way at the wrong time of the year.
And that's just because their margin of error was so much smaller from the get-go, only having five players on the roster who could legitimately, you know, warrant a starting spot. I know Joyce Jin is, I think she's still around, but has battled injuries and, you know, probably isn't ready to jump in there. And so, you know, going that lean, and I think this is what we're starting to see from Arizona State as well. When you go that lean, it's almost impossible to keep up, you know, everyone's high standard of play all year. You know, people are going to have ebbs and flows and peaks and valleys. We're starting to see that now. Jasmine Koo, great fall. She's not played nearly as well this spring, but it's one of those things where maybe it's a small valley and they get back on the upward trend. But as I said, we're running out of time in this season. And talking about Stanford's strength of schedule too, they have San Francisco's event coming up. And then I think they play the, might be Colorado's event, the Silverado Showdown up in Napa. So they got two more regular season events. they should. I haven't looked at the full fields for those, but historically, maybe not as tough. They could be undefeated going into conference, going into the ACC championship, which is weird to say still that they'll be playing the ACC championship. But again, I think, you know what? I think Ann Walker, like, over the years, right? She said, we don't pay attention to this stuff. This is for you guys to talk about. I think she is like taken over my mind because I feel like I have barely talked to her this year. I barely talked about Stanford. It's kind of one of those things where I'm just kind of letting them do what they do and seeing where it takes them, and they still haven't lost. So maybe I'll keep doing that. Maybe I'll keep playing it off.
Is that why she's ignoring your texts and calls and you're getting blocked when you send messages?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, she doesn't want to talk about perfect season, which, you know, I don't blame her. But, yeah, this is no star on this team, but I have a feeling Mihal Ortegren is going to be a player who we look back when she turns professional and she wins a couple of times in Europe. She plays in Solheim Cup. She starts winning on the LPGA. I think she could be that type of player. And being in college and seeing – kind of how she's evolved physically too, like with speed and things like that. Like, she's benefiting from being over here on the States, and not to say that Sweden and the national team doesn't do a good job developing players, but to get at Siebel and get around all those great players at Stanford, like, I think it's taking her to a new level with her golf game.
Speaking of the ACC that Stanford's now in, perhaps their biggest roadblock would be Florida State. The Seminoles, they roll in their tournament at home. Mirabelle Tang wins again, 5 victories in 6 starts. Lottie Woad third. She still hasn't finished worse than tied for third. We start talking about all-time great seasons. You know, I think the asterisk now, and there's still golf to play for Mirabelle, is the two events she didn't play in the fall because she went back home. You know, across the globe to play in some professional events. That was a pre-planned scenario. Completely on board was Amy Bond, the head coach for FSU. But you're now winning at an 87.5% clip. That's pretty darn good. Lorena, Rose, they both won 8 of 10 events. You know, we had that debate a few years ago, and I gave the edge to Rose because she won the NCAAs, but Lorena's still might be the greatest ever because you won 8 times and the other two, she came in second. We've talked about the 1-2 punch. There's no one in the country that can compare to Mirabelle Tang and Lottie Woad. And now you're starting to see some of those new faces from September stepping up. This could be a team, maybe not a surprise, but talking to Amy at the Folds of Honor, wondering what the fresh faces would do. Maybe this is the outlier that if FSU continues and could find a way to beat Stanford at ACC's, give them that boost of confidence heading into May.
Yeah, and they've gotten a little healthier at the back end. They've added Layla Padrique for a little bit of depth. She's kind of been in and out of the lineup now since getting rid of her red shirt. But finally some pieces to kind of work with behind those two. And but what events was it that Lorena lost that year? She lost NCAAs and she lost the Pac-12.
She lost, yeah, she won the first 7. She lost the Pac-10 conferences. Yeah, Pac-8, Pac-10, whatever it was. It was either Candy Kung or Jimin Kang. She won regionals, and then Lorena finished 2nd at the NCAAs to Virata near a Pathpongporn from Duke. So, you know, the head-to-head record will never be matched unless someone just runs the table. To say you lost to 2 out of 1,000 golfers in a year is absurd. Let's give it a little more time. But if Mirabelle keeps trending, we can sort of put her in that narrative for sure. Some other women's results: Pepperdine, 1-shot win over Kansas State at the Silicon Valley Showcase. Washington, they won by 11 at the Dr. Donis Thompson Invitational. A busy couple of weeks. Again, thanks to you for keeping things moving last week during spring break for the family. Next week, a big one, the Augusta National Women's Amateur. We're going to tape next Tuesday night. We'll both be in Augusta to sort of preview our thoughts, names, and I think we always have a fun list. We pick five or six. Yeah, a little draft. I think you've crushed me the previous few iterations because they'll get going for real next Wednesday. And then right after that, we're 10 days away from conference championship starting. And the final thing we'll discuss, you pitched the idea of which team am I most confident will win a Power Four tourney. I mean, it's a no-brainer to say Stanford will win anything and everything at this point.
It's match point but that, for that.
Yeah, that seems too easy to go there. You know, I started thinking, is Auburn putting stuff together? Because you think about the ACC. You've got Wake Forest. You've got Florida State. Duke is always in the mix. Virginia seems to step up around this time. I can't necessarily identify. I mean, I guess I would say USC right now at the moment to win Big Tens, which again doesn't make sense that they're in the Big Ten. Maybe Arizona State, Big 12. Oh, you're going to go Oregon? Yeah.
They were right there to beat Stanford this week.
Yeah.
They only lost by two. That freshman, Suvi Chaya, is amazing. Kiara Romero is
a star.
To finally
she's so
be
good.
A consistent star. Like, I feel like she's been, like, we've known how good she is, and she's shown flashes, but then she'll disappear for a tournament, or she won't really give you kind of what you expect. I think she's finally starting to get more comfortable being the dog on this team and being the leader. I still think USC's got a chance, though.
I mean, yeah, that's not it'll a bad be a pick. Now, it'll be a lot of fun.
Stock is low. You can buy in on USC stock right now. Get it pretty low.
Buy the dip.
I was going to go with the Oklahoma State men, another team that is flowing a little bit under the radar. It's a little bit young, but well coached, and the Big 12 is kind of lean these days. So that it might be one of those situations where we're talking about like Illinois and the Big 10. You know. In previous years, could be a little bit lean, but big.
It's upon
big,
us.
Hoops game tonight, Burko. Florida, Maryland.
Florida, Maryland. We get about a 7:30 tip. It makes perfect sense. Lacrosse finishes at 7, so we can get home in time for that. Again, in my pool, I picked Maryland over Florida. Again, I can't go with the heart.
Yeah, go ahead.
Florida's game was last week. I never loved the draw. I said, you do not want to play UConn. And the truth is, 37 minutes into the game, I said, they're going to lose. And then Clayton decided to step up and make sure they didn't lose. So I think that was potentially the speed bump. But what do you have, a one and done? You got to pick an outright winner. Give me your top three options.
So I've already picked Michigan State. That's one issue. And then I've picked Kentucky. And I've picked Texas Tech. So those three teams are off the board. Theoretically, I have to pick six more teams. Final four is just one. So it's a team per day. So
you've picked Texas Tech.
I've already picked Texas Tech.
So you have Florida or Maryland for today. You have BYU, Alabama.
See, that's it. I need mathematically to take Alabama, but I think they're going to lose. So I think I'm just going to go Florida. I think tomorrow I'm going to go either Auburn or Tennessee over Kentucky because Kentucky's beat Tennessee twice this year. It's going to be hard to beat that team three times in a year. That might be the risk. And then I think I'm going to go and blow Duke on the weekend. Just because.
Yeah, there's.
I can play it too safe and be in the group of people who get bounced by an upset. Or I can just go chalk for 4 days. And if I run out of teams to pick, I run out of teams to pick.
I would lean to the BYU Alabama game. Not sure who's going to win. I'm not sure, but I look at it this way. Would you be picking Bama? Anything past today, correct? But you would need to pick Florida or Duke theoretically to win it all. You almost have to roll the dice of if I don't use them now, I'm never using them. as opposed to, oh God, you'd really love to maybe have Florida on Saturday if they move on.
Yeah.
But what do I know?
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to go with Alabama and hope that they can score like 120 points because that's what they're going to need to do.
So when the Fighting Danny Ainges win by 12 and you text me expletives, I'll take
the high
road.
I'm just going to blame it on you. You can Venmo me like $5 for.
Perfect. Done deal. That's going to put a wrap, though, on this edition of College Golf Talk. Again, our thanks to Jake Amos, LSU men's head golf coach, for joining us. We appreciate, as always, you tuning in, carving out some time to hear Brentley and me vamp and wax poetic momentarily. Certainly not all 40 minutes, but we'll do it again. Remember, next Tuesday night, we're going to preview the Augusta National Women's Amateur. We'll get that live first thing Wednesday. And until then, enjoy the rest of your week.